Thanks to our beloved on-demand listeners, Issues Etc. consistently ranks among the top podcasts in religion and spirituality. You can help us climb the charts by subscribing, rating, and reviewing Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit the subscription button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for podcast listeners to find Issues Etc. Help us cast Christ's net on the internet. Subscribe, rate, and review Issues Etc. today.
Jesus never once talked about abortion. Never once.
The gospel explicitly says and proclaims how God creates and redeems and calls every human being from the moment of fertilization to forever to be his precious treasure. I mean, that is the heart of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
As our world descends more into the chaos of sexual confusion, identity confusion, and general dissensus and anger, we are the city on the hill, a place where there's forgiveness for all.
Although we are capable of great acts of kindness, history teaches us that we sometimes need saving from ourselves. God sent into the world a unique person, neither a philosopher nor a general, but a savior with the power to forgive.
Police officers in Michigan love listening to Issues Etc.
Well, the headline from a recent edition of the Washington Post reads, "Knock, knock, Jehovah's Witnesses resume door-to-door work." Jehovah's Witnesses have restarted their door-to-door ministry after more than 2.5 years on hiatus due to the coronavirus pandemic, reviving a religious practice that the faith considers crucial and cherished. It goes on to refer to the Jehovah's Witness as a Christian denomination. They might want to fact check that particular one. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to talk about witnessing to Jehovah's Witnesses. Kay Meyer will join us. We'll spend some time with Dr. Reed Lessing, author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Deliver Us, God's Rescue Story in Exodus, part 4 of our series on the Book of Exodus. Josh Pauling joins us to discuss the connection between Darwinism and racism, and Pastor Ted Geese will review the TV series The Lord of the Rings, The Rings of Power. Joining us to talk about witnessing to Jehovah's Witnesses, Kay Meyer. She's founder and president of Family Shield Ministries and author of several publications, including Mission Field On Our Doorstep, Jehovah's Witnesses. Kay, welcome.
Thank you.
Why is the door-to-door encounter so important in the Jehovah's Witness theology?
Well, it's just something they've done for years. That's the way they reach people. That's the way they do their one-on-one book studies and then small group studies. It's not always at the beginning. They didn't have door-to-door, but they started that. And it's just been the way that they proselytize. It's important to them. And I do understand they're going to start that again. They've been, because of the pandemic, not just like so many churches, not having services in their kingdom hall, not going door to door, not being seen at airports and other places that you'll see them out sharing their resources.
The Washington Post story that occasions our conversation refers to the Jehovah's Witnesses as a Christian denomination. Are the Jehovah's Witnesses Christian?
No, they are not. They are a Christian cult. They call themselves Christians. They think they're Christians, but what they teach is not at all what the body of Christ believes. I know it's confusing for people. The word cult isn't in the Bible, but it really does mean that they call themselves Christians and they think they are. And they talk about Jesus, but it isn't the Jesus of the Bible. They believe in a false Christ and a false gospel. And they deny so many other things. I just have 4 signs of a cult, but I've added a 5th one, and I'll get to that. The first one is that they deny the deity of Jesus Christ. They deny that he's God. Now, we know he's both true God and true man, but they're denying his deity, that he is God. And secondly, they always have an authority head. And for them, it's the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society, their organization, the organization that they trust. And then third, they believe that faith and works are necessary for salvation. They do not believe you can be saved by faith alone. So that's a key one to be looking for. It's sometimes confused even in the body of Christ. The fourth one is that they are the only true religion and God's prophet on earth today. And that's why it's so hard to get Jehovah's Witnesses to leave once they've gone in to believe what their organization teaches. They think the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society is God's organization on earth today, and it's the only one. There is no other that's like it. And finally, that fifth one that I add is they control their members. They tell them what to eat, how to dress, and what to believe. And if they don't believe that, they will be disfellowshipped. So those are the, I always say four signs, but I always add that fifth one, that they control their members. I've met so many ex-Jehovah's Witnesses, and the control is astounding when you hear some of the stories about what they went through.
What did the Jehovah's Witnesses do when they couldn't go door-to-door during the pandemic?
Well, I had lots of letters. I would think anyone that has ever tried to witness to them and that they had your address in their files and to keep records of who they visit, who they talk to, got letters. And I got several letters. I always responded. And at least one of them, Barnabas and his wife, Brianna, wanted a telephone call or a Zoom meeting with me. So I did that with them. And they didn't want to talk to me a second time. I was trying to get them to do that. But I stayed in touch because I got their email. I've stayed in touch periodically. I'll have a question and I'll ask them and they respond back to me. But it's not as good as a door-to-door in someone's home and building that relationship. Their goal, of course, when they come to your door is to get you involved in their organization. And I think that's why they want to go back to door-to-door. It's much easier to build that relationship when you see people's face and begin a Bible study. But they did a lot of the letter writing. They have to still do those things to be a good Jehovah's Witness in good standing. And so that's what they were doing, letter writing, telephone calls, or Zoom meetings.
So what message do the Jehovah's Witnesses carry door-to-door?
I would say a false Christ and a false gospel, because that's what they're proclaiming. But most people at the door, they're not trying to find active Christians, although they'll talk to you. They're trying to find vulnerable people, people that believe in God but don't know anything about Him, lonely people. So they come to your door and they start a process of, if you're interested, of coming back on a one-to-one basis. They have multiple books and magazines that they'll share with you, so you have literature. But their goal is to get you in a one-on-one study with them, and then later it's a small group study, and they have kind of a process that they go through. That's their goal. And they're teaching you a lot of things that are incorrect. You know, their beliefs about Jesus are incorrect. They talk about their heavenly kingdom and their earthly kingdom, and they tell people what a wonderful place it's going to be. Well, most of them are going to the earthly kingdom, which they teach is going to be just like our earth today. We're going to marry and have children. There's so many biblically incorrect beliefs that they have, and yet the Jehovah's Witnesses will believe them and think it's going to be a great place.
You mentioned the Watchtower. What literature do the Witnesses bring with them door to door?
Well, they always have their Watchtower magazine and their Awake magazine. The Watchtower magazine is mostly theological, and that's what they use for their, what they call worship services on Sunday mornings. I don't call them worship at all. That's what they're going through. Every kingdom hall in the whole world will be using that same article that same week. And I've gone to a Kingdom Hall only once. I mean, they were nice. They knew who I was and they were nice to me. But it was so sad to have them. They have the answers in the Watchtower magazine and it's wrong. It's theologically a mess. And they read those and then a person might come along with a microphone and ask someone to answer a question. But the answer is in that magazine, and they have to say what that says. If a ex-Jehovah's Witness comes in and would try to talk, they would be closed down really quickly. So the Watchtower magazine, the Awake magazine, and then they have a variety of books that they use to teach people. And they usually, again, go through a one-on-one basis with certain books. Like I have You Can Live Forever in Paradise Earth in front of me. It's one of the books, it's an old one now, that they use when they're first introducing people to their beliefs. And I can go through them and just see all kinds of things that are incorrect, not biblical. But the Jehovah's Witness begins to believe what they're teaching them as they continue to be immersed in their false teachings. So it's difficult, but certainly many of them are coming out, thank God, and leaving, becoming ex-Jehovah's Witnesses, and many of them are becoming Christians. Not all of them, because they're taught. Christians and Christian congregations are Babylon the Great, Satan's great organization. So when they leave the Watchtower Society, maybe they're disfellowshipped. That's what a lot of them end up leaving for. And then they stay out and get married and have families. Somebody maybe shares the message of God's love with them. If they built a relationship with a Christian, they would probably say yes to an invitation to their church. But if it's just on their own to come into a church after they leave, nope, they're not going to do that because the organization has put fear into their hearts about what Christian congregations believe and teach.
So how successful have the Witnesses in their campaign to witness been?
Well, I guess it depends on how many are leaving. As years ago, and in my book, my Mission Field on God's Doorstep, my booklet that I have, I had down that 40,000 of them in the United States leave every year. So a lot of times, a lot of them are leaving, and I've met many ex-Jehovah's Witnesses that leave or family members leave. But at least a few years ago, I was kind of astounded when I read the article in the Washington Post because their numbers right now, according to that article, are almost half of what they were just a few years ago. So he said 1.3 million Jehovah's Witnesses in the United States. Those are active witnesses only, very active. I had down from just 2.5 years ago, and I had checked with the Watchtower organization on these stats, 2.5 million in the United States and 18 million worldwide. That was about 2.5 years ago. Today, 1.3 million in the United States and 8.3 million worldwide. Now, it's a lot of people, but it's gone down drastically. So I think the body of Christ right now has a tremendous opportunity to make friends. They're not going to be coming to your door if they've left. They're not going to be coming to your door unless they're active witnesses. But in your community, if you meet someone that says they were raised as a Jehovah's Witness or they used to study with them, you know, it's a tremendous opportunity to share the love of Christ and the gospel with them.
We're talking about witnessing to Jehovah's Witnesses. Kay Meyer is our guest. She's author of Mission Field on Our Doorstep, Jehovah's Witnesses. How did they originate? We'll answer that question next. What can we learn from our Lutheran forefathers on how to face the challenges of a culture openly hostile to Christianity? Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, has written a column for the Latest Issues Etc. journal titled For Such a Time as This. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. You'll also find Pastor Will Whedon's article on the monthly Psalter, the free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
Deaconesses are women trained to share the gospel of Jesus Christ through works of mercy, spiritual care, and teaching of the Christian faith. The word deaconess means servant. Find out more on how you can serve in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod through the vocation of deaconess at lcms.org/deaconess. Working in faith, laboring in love, remaining steadfast in the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ. LCMS Deaconess Ministry, lcms.org/deaconess.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Holy Cross Evangelical Lutheran Church, Albany, Oregon, is a mid-Willamette Valley LCMS congregation where the liturgy lives and God's people worship as one. with sound biblical doctrine, weekly communion, and a clear confession of Christ crucified for the sin of the world. Please join us at 2515 Queen Avenue Southeast or visit our website at www.HolyCrossLutheranAlbany.org.
When pastors talk about us, they say ad crucem. When laity mention us, they say ad crucem. When telemarketers call us, they say ADC Rucam. But a Luther rose by any name will smell as sweet. Ad crucem is the place to go for greeting cards and artwork, jewelry and ornaments, housewares, church certificates, church banners, and much more. Visit adcrucem.com. That's ADCRUCEM.com.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about witnessing to Jehovah's Witnesses. Kay Meyer is our guest. She's founder and president of Family Shield Ministries and author of several publications, including Mission Field on Our Doorstep, Jehovah's Witnesses. Operation Barnabas is a project of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Operation Barnabas trains congregations of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in transitioning military families after deployments. Learn more about Operation Barnabas at lcms.org/armed forces, serving those who serve, LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces, lcms.org/armed forces. Kay, how did the Jehovah's Witnesses originate?
Charles Taze Russell is the founder of the Watchtower Society, and that was in 1884. He founded it when he started a Bible study. He believed there was no hell. He started believing all kinds of things that were unbiblical, and he taught those people that. One of the other things he did is write a series of books. One is The Time is at Hand. It's a book that I have. I found it at a garage sale. And in that book, he predicted the end of the world in 1914. So 1914 is a very important date to Jehovah's Witnesses. And that is one of the failures, one of the false prophecies, is that it was predicted, and they call themselves a prophet of God, that 1914 would be the end of the world. And of course, it was not.
How would you describe Jehovah's Witness theology?
It's a religion of denials, if I'm talking about it from a Christian viewpoint. They deny the deity of Christ, which we've already said. They deny the personage of the Holy Spirit. They call the Holy Spirit a radar beam. He's not God to them. They deny the Trinity. They deny the existence of hell. They deny that Jesus' suffering, death, and resurrection are sufficient for all men. And they deny the soul lives on beyond death. Just a few of their denials. All the things that they teach are against those things. I would just warn anyone not to get involved with Jehovah's Witnesses, because we as Christians know that Christ is the reason that we have faith, that he suffered and died for our sins. And I always tell people, focus on Jesus. They teach a false Christ and a false gospel.
So you mentioned the false Christ. Who is Jesus then, according to the Jehovah's Witnesses?
They teach a false Christ. When we say this to people, they come back to me and they say, but Kay, they talked about Jesus. They said he's their savior. But the Jesus that they teach is not the Christ of the Bible. So here's just some of the things they teach about Jesus. They teach Jesus was Michael the archangel, a spirit person, or a God, lowercase g, before his birth and after the resurrection. They don't really believe in a resurrection. They believe in a recreation, but just for people to understand, before and after. While he was on earth, Jesus was only a man. And this just helps people learn how to witness when they understand these things. They also believe that Jesus became the Christ at his baptism, whereas God's word tells us he became the Christ at his birth. The Bible says, you know, when he was born, he was the Christ. Most people don't touch on that very often. And we can't pray to Jesus because he isn't God, according to them. They do pray in Jesus' name. So again, people will come back and say, but they said they pray in Jesus' name. Yes, but they don't pray to him because they don't believe he's God. And, you know, again, there are lots of verses we can talk about, like the verse in Acts when Stephen was being stoned to death and looked up and said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. I love to talk about that verse with witnesses because there's no answer for them. It's very clearly Stephen who is praying to Jesus, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He knew he was going to die. And by the way, that also is another verse that they do not believe your soul lives on beyond death. And so I'll use that same verse for that teaching because God's word definitely shares that when we die, our souls continue to live on.
What do they believe then about the afterlife?
Well, again, as I said, the soul does not live on after the body dies. That's what they believe and that's what they teach. They also believe in the heavenly kingdom where the 144,000 Jehovah's Witnesses will be, maybe a few of the Old Testament and New Testament people, because that's a small number. In fact, they tell us there's hardly any spaces left. But they also believe then in the earthly kingdom. So most Jehovah's Witnesses that you'll ever meet today are going to the earthly kingdom. They're not going to the heavenly kingdom, and they're okay with that, which is real sad. And again, as I said, the earthly kingdom will be like our earth is today. They'll marry, they'll have children, and that's what they teach and believe. So their heaven is totally different from ours. And they're not believing in the Christ of the Bible, so they're not believing that he suffered and died for all their sins. They don't even believe Jesus died on a cross. So it's a very different belief. They are trusting in not Jesus, but the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society. That is who they trust in. And if we're going to reach them, a lot of times we have to crack the foundation of who they're trusting in. But again, I always say, don't just share the bad things with them. Share the gospel with them because they need to know the Lord Jesus Christ.
What happens inside a Jehovah's Witness kingdom hall?
Well, I only went once. They were very nice to me. They knew who I was, and they were kind, and I just watched. I don't believe you go in and cause problems in any kind of a worship setting. I just wanted to see it. And again, they use their Watchtower magazine for their service, and they sing songs. They don't have any cross or anything up front. And they go through that study, that book study, which they would then say is their worship time or their Bible study time. They don't have pastors, so they would have their various elders usually leading the service, and then they'll ask people different questions and do the songs. And that's really all I remember from it. I only went once. I wasn't impressed, obviously, but I thought it was really nice that they were kind and welcoming to me. And I just kind of sat in the back and observed. But for the witnesses, it is critical if they want to be a good witness that they go door to door. That first of all, they have to be baptized. That's when they are committed. They've gone through all the training. They're teaching them all the time. And then they have to go to that Sunday morning worship and Bible study. They have to go to 5 meetings a week. That's not 5 days. That's, you know, like Sunday would be 2 of those meeting times. And when they go to church in a Bible study, it's a book study. It's not really a Bible study. And then they have to go door to door when they're active. It's critical. And those are the only ones that they'll count in their statistics, is those that are totally committed, have taken all the training. And they're going every week to be trained to put you and I on the defensive at our door. So it's sometimes hard to be kind and loving when they do come. I do get that.
How should one of our listeners respond when a Jehovah's Witness comes to the door?
Well, for sure. Show love. Be kind, and as God gives you opportunity, share the gospel. I just interviewed an ex-Jehovah's Witness yesterday, and she really recommends that just ask them questions and make a friend of them first. because this is the only place you can really interact with them. They're not going to come to a church event that you invite them to. They're going to come to your door and have a cup of coffee or a tea, maybe a roll, if you know they're coming, because they're going to keep coming if you'll let them. Then what I always encourage people to do, certainly pray for them, and then ask good questions. The other thing I've learned along the way, because I know a lot about what they teach, but if I start trying to teach them what I know, they have an appointment down the street, and down the street they go, and they're not going to come back. In fact, my house has been marked for 40 years, so I'll be really friendly, and then I know they're not going to come back because they're going to go back and check the records and see that my house is marked, just because I know things that's you get marked if you witness to them and maybe are effective, I guess. But I think as we try to reach them for Christ, the best way is to build a relationship with them, pray for them. And then as God gives you an opportunity, share the message, even though they don't believe in the Christ of the Bible, the gospel and God's word is powerful and it needs to be used. I know so many times in the church today, people say, hide your Bible, don't use your Bible. That's not the case with Jehovah's Witnesses, because they will look up Bible verses with you. And I always encourage people to not only look the verses up, ask them to read them out loud so you're not just seeing it, but you're also hearing it, because a lot of times they miss what those verses are saying. And be kind and caring and pray for them. If you don't feel that you can continue to talk to them, just take their name, their first name, and keep them on your prayer list.
Kay Meyer is founder and president of Family Shield Ministry. She's author of several publications, including Mission Field on Our Doorstep, Jehovah's Witnesses. You'll find a link to this book and to Family Shield on the Talk on Demand archives page at issuesetc.org. Kay, thanks.
Thank you.
It's part four of our series on the book of Exodus with Dr. Reed Lessing on the other side of the break. We're going to be talking about water re-entering the picture for the rebellious Israelites.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we move further into Genesis with the fall. Called to account, judgments rendered, grace extended, and the sacrifices of Cain and Abel. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute, verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Come and hear abortion survivor Melissa Odin, Jeannie Mancini from the March for Life, and Blaze TV and radio host Steve Dace at the 2022 Lutherans for Life National Conference, Friday and Saturday, October 21st and 22nd in Rock Island, Illinois. Lutherans for Life National Conferences provide valuable information and encouragement to you, your congregation, and your community. The 2022 Lutherans for Life National Conference, October 21st and 22nd in Rock Island, Illinois. Learn more at lutheransforlife.org/conference.
Memoria Press's award-winning Latin programs are designed to teach your student to master Latin grammar through an easy-to-use step-by-step process. By studying Latin, your student will gain an academic vocabulary, a mastery of English grammar, and develop sound critical thinking skills. To order, visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next purchase by using the coupon code LPR22. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time. MemoriaPress.com.
If you were to travel back 500 years to the Wartburg Castle, you would find an odd sight. Junker George, that is, Knight George, sequestered away in the castle, translating the Bible into German. Who was this odd knight? None other than Martin Luther, during the time he was hidden away in the Wartburg Castle, and during which time he started translating the Bible into German. To learn more about this work and its effect on the world and on Christianity, pick up your copy of the Lutheran Witness today. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe, or visit our website, witness.lcms.org, to learn more. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Keeping the message straight. Getting the message out. You're listening to Issues Etc.
You may be one of those pastors who need to be refreshed and refueled because of your parish ministry.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Charles Geeshan.
Concordia Theological Seminary has a wonderful program, not only in continuing education during the summer, but in a advanced study program called the Doctor of Ministry. And it's a very practical program because it focuses on congregational ministry. It incorporates biblical theology with the ministry of the congregation. It's also very accessible for pastors, and it's also affordable. You can major in pastoral care and leadership, teaching and preaching, or mission and culture. And we pray that pastors will take advantage of this program.
Learn more about the Doctorate of Ministry program at ctsfw.edu or by calling 1-800-481-2155, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.